Hello, everybody. This is Aaron Peterson, host of The Hollywood Outsider and Remake This Movie Right. And this is a special introduction to a podcast I have started doing with some co-hosts from Remake This Movie Right, Amanda Sink and Zachary Parkerson. You probably heard an advertisement for it a few weeks back, and you've heard me talk about it a little bit. But I wanted to give you a sample now that we have an episode that's actually surrounding film, television, and fandom. Smirk is the new podcast. And what it revolves around is each week we tell a story, a short story, that leads to a specific topic that we as a group then discuss in a very upbeat, jovial way most of the time. Now, these topics can be heavy, they can be light, they can be fun, they can be a lot of things. This one is specifically a film-related topic, otherwise I wouldn't cut it into the show. But I think this is the perfect one to introduce those of you who don't know what Smirk is to our show and what it is. So basically, after this, you're going to hear the entire episode of Reach for the Stars. It's our fifth episode. There are four other ones you can check out. If you enjoy what you hear, all you have to do is go to smirkpodcast.com and find the subscribe button for whatever podcast app you use, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, whatever, Stitcher. We're on all of them. Or just whatever app you're using and you're listening to this right now, find Smirk, S-M-I-R-K, in your app and subscribe. That's enough of me. Let's just get into the show and you guys take a listen to Smirk. Welcome to the show that looks at truth, fiction, and reality with a smirk. I'm Aaron Peterson.
I'm Amanda Sink.
And I'm Zach Parkerson.
And welcome to Smirk. Once again, this is a show that takes a look at creative storytelling. One of our authors each week is going to write a story and read that story. This week it is Amanda's turn. And then at the end, we're going to discuss in detail why she wanted to talk about that story, why that topic was important to her, that was enclosed within her story. Do you have something to dazzle us this week?
No.
No.
Just so get excited. Everybody
should quit listening right now.
Yep.
Wow. I am as excited as I would be for watching a new Terminator film right now.
Yikes, that's not very exciting.
Wait, Terminator is something you would get very excited about?
No, I would not get it because she said, no, she doesn't have anything to dazzle us.
Okay.
Much like I would not be dazzled by a new Terminator film.
Follow along.
I'm starting to catch up. I get it.
All right, well, nestle into your seats because I'm going to tell you a story. Elijah is a quirky young boy, about 6 years old or so. He likes to spend alone time to give his imagination the chance to run wild. Sometimes he'll watch other kids and adults and create a story of what he's watching in his head. He thinks it's kind of fun to make your own story of what they're talking about or what they're doing. He loves to make fantasy and sci-fi stories in his head in particular. His parents are really cool too. Michelle and Joe are their names. They love to play games and puzzles with Elijah, but mostly they love to go to movies together as a family. They love watching movies at home, but the movie theater is what really makes it a fun experience. They don't go to every movie in theaters, so when they do go, they make a big deal of it. Sometimes they'll even go to the really late showings when it's a big new release, and Elijah gets to stay home from school the next day. Of course, those are his favorite. If it's the first of the series, they'll usually celebrate with a themed dinner beforehand to really add effect and get them in the mood. But if it's a franchise that's really big, like Star Wars, they'll spend the weekend before watching the ones that came before it and pick out outfits or costumes for the movie premiere. Trust them when they say they're big Star Wars fans. The rest of the family gives them the side eye. They just don't get why someone would design their entire basement with a Star Wars theme and have Star Wars kitchen cutlery. This family definitely buys their opening day tickets the moment they go on sale. So now we're in 2019, and the release of Episode 9 in the Star Wars franchise is rapidly approaching. Who am I going to dress up as this year? Elijah enthusiastically thinks to himself. He tells his parents over the weekend right before the release that he wants to be Chewie this time around. Of course, Michelle and Joe decide to go as Han and Leia. Michelle has a long brown hair to pull off Leia, and Joe has a sarcastic sense of humor to give Harrison Ford a run for his money. They all plan out their outfits, and Elijah's costume is hung inside his closet. He looks at it every day, eagerly awaiting that Thursday night for which they have reserved seats, smack dab in the middle of the theater. Luxury. Thursday night is here, and everyone showing up to this 30-screen Cineplex is in full-on costume. The family reaches the box office to pick up their tickets. They're given a full-size poster and various collectibles to go with it. The box office worker slips Elijah an extra one, winks at him, and tells him Chewie is her favorite character. He walks away with the biggest grin on his face. You can tell he's excited. There are stormtroopers and Siths galore, but alas, only one Chewie. Only little Elijah's. Michelle and Joe ask him what he wants to eat, and he raises his fist in the air and expels a loud yell while saying, "Popcorn!" Clearly the kid likes his popcorn. He'll probably eat all $22 of it, too. They head into the theater, look for their row letter, and make their way to the seat they've chosen months ago. Lightsabers drawn, battles among kids and adults alike, and laughter echoing the building. The sound emits in sync with the screen. Everyone cushions themselves into their seats. The anticipation is visible on everyone's face. The lights go down and a room full of eyes are glistening. Elijah's dad puts his arm around him and pulls him in towards his chest for a hug. "I love you, bud," he whispers to his son as the scroll appears. Smiles everywhere as the movie begins. This is exactly what Elijah dreams about all day. The ideas of this universe visually on display fascinates him. "I want to do this," he thinks to himself. The screen is his canvas and his imagination is the paint. He'll be the next big thing. He just doesn't know it yet.
Ooh.
At least Elijah gets hugs from his dad, I guess.
I guess we got to work on that for you.
Wow. Can we talk more about Zach's dad issues? Wow, that's something. I just want to go back to, gives Harrison Ford a run for his money?
Oh, yeah.
No. Let's not even go there.
I got some bad news for the chances of Han being in episode 9.
Wait, yikes. What? Don't make me sad.
Spoiler alert.
Is he no longer in the franchise? Why can't he be a Jedi ghost? It's just wrong. I don't know.
So what do you guys think it's about?
Magic of cinema.
I would probably, I mean, you, I guess you could be specific and say the magic of Star Wars, but I would probably go with a family that fosters a creative environment creates the next creator.
That's actually pretty damn close to what the moral is. But I also
got one. Yeah.
There's also a tiny element of just the fandom in there that I want to talk about as well.
Yeah, I heard the collectibles, and they obviously need to bring it down and remind themselves that this child needs to be nurtured in the ways of life as well, not just the Jedi Council.
Why are you hitting all of these questions so early on?
I'm not. Wow. What's your first question? What are we going to first? Because we can talk about Star Wars.
She has to say the specific moral yet.
Oh, yeah. What is your specific moral?
That the bond of movies for families can help build the imagination of a child and also make them crazy fans.
Why do you hate joy and fun?
I'll see you guys in like 20, 30 minutes.
Well, my first question is, do you think that people go too far with their fandom? Or is it always totally acceptable?
Ooh.
Including the kids. You have to include the kids. So you can't say it's cute for kids and not cute for adults. I guess you can, but...
But it is cute
for kids. But you have to talk about both.
I mean...
I have some thoughts.
Please go.
Oh, lead the way.
All I'm going to do is talk about how Star Wars diapers on a kid's okay, not on an adult.
What if they're wearing them together, though? Isn't that just sweet?
No.
Matching
sex. What if Grandpa's wearing the diaper with the kid?
Sex offender list again. Yep.
Why'd you take it there, man?
I'm sorry. Sorry, Grandpa. Don't wear the Star Wars diaper.
Oh, they're the adult diapers. Grandpa's very old.
What is your point? What are your thoughts? You have
okay. So let's hear them. It is impossible not to have complicated feelings on this, because on one hand you have a group of people being able to come together and celebrate something that they all love together, like say a new Star Wars movie. But on the other hand, all those collectibles and, you know, costumes and all that stuff is marketing. It's selling stuff. It's geek consumerism, you know, raised to the next level. And every time I see that, I think about both of those things a lot, because with the Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies and a lot of these things, there is a lot of people want to be known as the biggest fan. They want to collect all the collectibles. But really all you're doing is playing into a mega corporation's overall marketing scheme. But on the other hand, it is really exciting to go see the new Star Wars movie on opening night. It is exciting to get the cool the lightsaber replicas. All those things are awesome. But at the same time, you're being a fan of something, but you're being a fan of one of the biggest properties on the face of the earth.
So you're saying you're not really a fan because everybody is a fan. You're kind of just jumping in the sandbox with everybody else.
Well, it's interesting, speaking to Star Wars specifically, because it is the biggest entertainment property ever, right? which is exciting on the one hand, because everyone gets to be a fan, everyone gets to talk about it and go to work and all these things. But it also, it's playing right into the reason Disney is such a monolithic corporation. It's because you keep buying all these things because you want to be the guy with the cool costume at the premiere.
Does it help if this family, because they don't go to movies very often because they don't have the money for it, which is
how are they buying
go.
The costumes?
They don't. That's the thing. They make them.
How are they making them? How are they going to afford a sewing machine? They can't go to see a movie?
I think he's got a good point because you were asking about fandom.
Yeah.
And he's not wrong.
I know. I just didn't know if it helped this family in
particular.
You're
trying to get him off his consumerism angle?
I'm not trying to sound anti-capitalist. America.
Why
is
do you hate
experiment.
Funko Pops? That's really what the question is.
So I have two Funko Pops, you know?
So the problem for you is that it feeds into the marketing plan of the companies and corporations that are already making enough money, and not necessarily that people are going and getting excited and dressing up and doing those things. Because if they were to make everything on their own, then it wouldn't be you wouldn't frown upon it.
The family, yeah, I can see what you're saying, that they didn't buy into the overall marketing machine, right?
Yeah. But I would like to know where you lie on the issue of like what bothers you and what actually is the root of the problem for you with fandom.
So tricky. I think a lot of fandoms come down to feels like a race to be the biggest fan, the fastest fan, the loudest fan. So sometimes I worry that it's betraying what made it so beautiful in the first place when something gets to a specific size. But, you know, yeah, I'm of two minds on this thing almost constantly.
That's actually an interesting point, because when it comes to fandom, I'm split down the middle too, because I love being a fan. I'm a fan. Like Zach said, everybody's a Star Wars fan. And if you're not, well, do you really like movies? Really is the question. You know, we're varying degrees, but there is that contingent of people that think that they need to be the biggest fan and they're always competing. And you know what? Go to any internet board, any Facebook board, Reddit, whatever it is you use. Find a Star Wars thread or a Lord of the Rings thread, Harry Potter, and have an opinion about anything that happens in the movie, and somebody will tell you how wrong you are because you do not know as much as they do. They are obviously a better fan because they understand the source material better than you ever will because they're a bigger fan. That's the downside to fandom. The upside is you go to, and also the marketing and the consumerism, that's also a downside. Those are things, very real, tangible things that we get sucked into. We need all the stuff. We need all the toys. We need all the stuff. The kids need all the freaking Lego sets, and we need all the games. And we need all the posters, and we all that jive. But the wonderful side of it is you see generations coming together. You see people bonding over something. People that have no connection whatsoever, they can bond over this property, whatever their property is. I'm not saying just Star Wars, anything, fandom. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is more beautiful than any marketing ploy or consumer issues that might also exist. I think there is something about being a fan of whatever it is and the gap that it bridges that is just worth every ounce of negativity that is out there. It is worth every angry fan and pain in the ass you have to deal with who knows everything about the property. And he'll tell you every freaking left turn that they take in the movie, even though nobody cares. What exact palette did they use? What colors did they use? Here's exactly what they did with the green screen in this shot. Nobody gives a rat's ass. They just want to enjoy what they love. Even with those people in there, it's still wonderful to have those experiences and to see little kids' eyes light up that they think they're a Jedi. Well, you know they're not a Jedi because their name's not Skywalker. But they feel like they could be, and it's like an inspirational thing. It's a hope thing. It's a dream. They want to be that. They want to reach for the stars, so to speak. And it gives them that unadulterated blind vision of the future with hope and joy and positivity. It's a beautiful thing. Any kind of fandom that inspires that is a good thing to me. Take away all the pork dolls, and it's still a good thing to me.
Let's back this up. Okay. Porg dolls are adorable. The porgs are cute.
I hear that there's a differing opinion on this. I mean, there seems to be a porg militia forming that still want to take out the porgs. I don't know, but let's not talk about that because a lot of people haven't seen the movie yet, so we don't want to get too into the porgs. I'm just saying.
They're cute.
Sure. They're adorable.
I've got them all over my shirt right now.
Oh my God. So you're playing right into it, Amanda.
Yeah, I got a 25% discount. I'm not going to turn that down.
Disney. You're the biggest Star Wars fan I know.
I don't need to be the biggest Star Wars fan, you know. I just want to enjoy my pajama top that has porgs all over it because they're cute.
Well, way to dress for the podcast. Way to dress up for the podcast.
I'm in theme. I'm in character for my storytelling. Anyway.
How do you feel about fandom? I mean, where do you lie? You wrote the story.
I'm also split. I think that some people are just kind of trolls and just like you mentioned, where they just want to be the best. And it's just about being the coolest and having all the coolest stuff and doing all the cool things where they don't really care about the property anymore. They just care about being invested visually to other people and showing off what they have. Oh, I'm a cool fan because I have this stuff. Okay, well, what was in the movie? What was your favorite scene?
Well, or they love to dissect what you love at the bottom.
Or that. Or yeah. They're just vicious. But more than anything, I love fandom where people dress up for – they just cosplay. If it's for an event like a Comic-Con or something, or if it's just to go to the movie premiere, I think it's adorable. Whether they're adults or they're kids – If that's something that brings them joy and you see that on their face, that makes me happy because I don't care what it is that makes you happy as long as it's legal. So murder's not in there.
And they're 17.
Then I'm cool with it. And it makes me excited because I think the kids get excited to see, oh, these adults are kind of dressing up. It reminds me of Halloween in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And Halloween is my favorite holiday. So it just feels like another experience of Halloween and that same joy and happiness that people and kids get to, you know, light up their eyes when they see other people in the same costume as them. Hey, you're just like me. You're just like me. When I went to the Star Wars premiere, and this is just a kind of I'll give you a short story because it pertains to this and it's adorable.
Hey, you already told one story. How many stories do you get in this podcast?
I'm just going to tell you this one little snippet. There was an adult stormtrooper there, and he was there with his Wookiee girlfriend. And then there was a tiny little...
How do they mate? This is an important question.
I'm not here to judge on what they're doing.
Wookiees have vaginas and penises.
Wookie what?
Stormtroopers have a lot of uniform. That's
you take it off.
He had a flap thing, so
yeah, he actually thought about it.
His white.
Yeah,
his,
I guess he does have to pee, right?
Yeah. So, but there was
and
a little.
This is I always wanted to know how do they go to the bathroom? There's got to be a restroom break at some point. Continue. I'm sorry.
There was like a probably 3-year-old little toddler boy, and he was wearing his stormtrooper costume, and he was very shy, and he was cute. And the girlfriend in the Wookiee costume
was
like,
shut up, Zach. That's an awe moment.
Hey, can he get a picture with you? He wants to get a picture with you. And the mom said, yeah, that's fine. So, and the kid was so excited and he walked down the steps and he was all nervous, but you could tell he was excited and everybody's wanting to take pictures. And the kid has like a nervous face at first. And then he's standing next to this taller stormtrooper and they both have their masks on and they're ready for pictures. And then the kid just has like a little smirk. Lifts up his finger like a finger gun and holds it up as they take pictures. And this cute little shy kid is just, you can tell he's blooming into that fandom really fast because he didn't have a fake gun like the other guy did. So it's just adorable.
How could you see a smirk through his movie accurate helmet?
He did. He like took it off. He had it on and then he took it off because he couldn't see.
Obviously not a very good stormtrooper.
I'm obviously not a good storyteller when I don't have it written down because I forgot to tell you that part. So that stuff just, it warms my heart and I love fandom because of that.
See, Zach's one of those bad fans because he's worried about continuity.
He just figured out my...
Tell about, there's a continuity issue and you need to solve it because I cannot enjoy this piece of movie magic that you've delivered unless you solve my continuity problem.
I do have like an obsessive compulsion with canon. I always tell people the stories of having Star Wars toys, and I never let anyone pilot the Millennium Falcon but Han Solo because he would never let anybody else pilot it.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you for that. See, respect the property.
I'm not proud of you. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. My God, why can't Han Solo share?
That's Han Solo's problem, not Zach's.
Yeah, look what happened to him. Got a hole through the head.
Ooh.
I don't think it was through the head.
Well, he got a hole through the heart.
Yeah, well.
Is that a spoiler? It's like 2 years old. I don't know what the rules are.
I don't think it's a spoiler. I'm just saying I think Kylo fulfilled every boy's destiny.
Killing their father?
You really
my God, man. I'm going to hire a therapist for you.
Every podcast, we're going to talk about Zach's issues.
We're going to work out these daddy issues by the time we finish.
I don't know if the snowman episode has aired yet, but my God, listen to that one. It's so sad how he's never built a snowman.
Well, after the 4 years of podcast, it takes to resolve my daddy issues. Let's move on to my mommy ones.
We'll do those in the Harry Potter episode.
Oh, my gosh. So my next question for you guys is...
Oh, I guess I'm still talking about fandom.
Oh, do you want to keep going?
There's more. I think there's more there. I think, you know...
Go ahead.
I'm kind of curious, where do you guys...
Oh, now he's taking my question.
No. How do you... Do you each have friends that are fans, right? Big mm-hmm. fans. Who is the biggest fan... Not them telling you they're the biggest fan, but who is the biggest fan you know, and why do you feel like they are the biggest fan you know?
For Star Wars?
Of anything. Of whatever. Of a property.
So for Harry Potter, I have a friend, Angela, who incorporates it into her everyday life and into her wedding and into everything else. Her parties. She has Harry Potter-themed parties. She doesn't do it to be... She handcrafts everything for her parties, too, I should mm-hmm. say that. So her Harry Potter party that I had gone to, she had the illuminating candles, you know, from the ceiling, the floating candles. She basically made those and hung them herself. She had...
With magic?
Yes, with magic.
Excellent.
With Dumbledore's help. And she had a sorting hat, which was just a sorting hat that you put paper in and everybody got sorted into their house. But she's very crafty and fun, and she brought the magic of Harry Potter alive. I feel like once you have the essence of what the property is and you incorporate that into your life, and it's just almost a part of who you are, and you bring that magic with you when you talk about the property and you are doing something with the property or you're watching them watch that movie. That feels like the person who really is the epitome of a fan for the biggest fan for a property.
All right, Zach, do you have a mega fan, the biggest fan of something?
So many fans. Aaron's pretty gnarly on Psych.
That is true. You know that's right.
Yeah, that's true.
I've heard it both ways.
Have you heard about Pluto? That's messed up.
It was messed up, though. My buddy Jeremy, he's very into... this manga called Berserk.
Okay.
I've never seen anybody a bigger fan of something, but he's not. I didn't even know he was a fan of it until 4 months into our friendship when I just by happenstance started to read it myself. But you could talk to him about any chapter in any volume, and he knows exactly what the scene was, what's happening there. He'll talk about what's probably going, like his thoughts on what's going through the characters' heads and all these things. And he just knows all that information immediately. He's never gone down my throat about something. He's never tried to be like, oh, man, you got to read the next one. Come on. He's never been super annoying about it to me or anyone that we know. But when you do talk to him about it, he knows his stuff. He's just a big fanboy, but he's never flamboyant about it, I guess.
That's interesting.
Your story made me reconsider who I think is the biggest Harry Potter. I have a friend who came in from Canada, and we had a Harry Potter trivia, and we started playing the game where everybody rolled the dice to see who was going to get the question. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where she knew literally every question. And I don't mean literally as a 20-year-old girl saying – I'm not 20, but in your 20s, saying literally.
So you're projecting yourself back into a 20-year-old girl?
Yes.
You're going backwards yes. into one? Okay.
But she genuinely knew the answer to every single question. We were taking the cards, kind of like Trivial Pursuit, where they have five or six questions on each card, and asking her all of the questions in order, and she would get every single one of them right. And it's about Harry Potter from the books.
So she's obviously better than Angela.
I think she might be. I reconsidered when Zach started talking about his friend. I was like, you know what? Jessica's probably a much bigger. I think they just in different levels.
Well, I've got a friend, Scott, who's insane.
That's good to know.
Yeah, no, he's nuts because, and in a good way for him, he is a fan of Zelda. Zach, I know you know what Zelda is because you're a big Zelda fan too, right?
I went to a symphony with Scott.
Well, see,
for Zelda.
They bond over Zelda, whatever. But he's such a big fan of Zelda that he has almost every collectible I've ever heard of. Things that I didn't even know were collectibles, but he never opens any of them. Never any of them. So he has toys that he'll never play with. He has board games that he'll never play. Every collectible you can think of he has, and he doesn't open any of them because he feels like if he opens it, it's no longer a collectible. Now, I don't understand this logic because I'm not there in my mindset. I have nothing that I feel that way about. But he is such a fan, he truly believes it would tarnish his collection to open some of this stuff. Even though he has it, I'm like, why would you have it? I don't buy stuff I don't want to use. To him, that's the only way that that remains pure in a way. So he's the biggest fan of any property I know of anybody I personally know.
Doesn't he have a sword too?
Yeah, I think he's a Zelda sword too. He probably like runs around naked in Zelda underwear, swinging a sword around trying to be Zelda probably.
As a quick aside, I saw Scott's collection once and it's beautiful and it's gorgeous.
He has an entire shelf, like multiple shelves devoted to it. Like a section of his home is, this is Zelda.
It could don't come near it. It could be living space.
It could be, but it's not.
It could be a, you know, a place to live.
Although my first question when I did see it was, oh, I see you don't open anything, huh?
So. And you just don't understand that?
I am adamant that I will open everything.
See, I'm with you on that. I'm totally on your side on that. But I don't knock somebody else for that.
Agreed.
So now that we've covered pretty much every topic when it comes to fandom, let me ask you.
We really got a lot out of that one, huh?
Sure did. Let me ask you guys, a lot of times when we are kids, when we've been children ourselves, we've had this idea of what we wanted to be growing up. We want to be this. We have this idea of who we should become. Do you think that things like movies influencing our imagination can really bring our dreams and lead throughout the rest of our lives to lead to fruition? Do you think that it lasts for the rest of our lives? Or do you think those dreams are just momentary lapses of judgment where we're just excited about something in the moment?
Well, I wanted to be Spider-Man growing up.
Did you try to spin a web?
There was a light switch with a drawstring in my closet. That was pretty tense. And every time I changed my clothes, I would swing in and swing out like Spider-Man.
That's not bad. I took a... Do you remember rulers in school? When they had the metal strip along the ruler?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I ripped one out and made a web shooter out of it, bent it around and made a web shooter.
Ah, so crafty you two are. I meant like real jobs.
Oh.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
But Spider-Man's a real job.
I'm going to try. You know what? Three men have been Spider-Man professionally.
That's true. That is true.
I don't quite understand why you're trying to kill our dreams, because you weren't happy that yours didn't come true.
For once, I was being positive about something, and Amanda's no.
I'm sorry. Spider-Man is the only thing that can make you happy.
I don't like Spider-Man enough, so it can't be a real job.
I do, but I mean, because it in the story.
Sound like with my mom.
The little kid.
You'll never be Spider-Man. It's not a real thing.
So now you have mommy issues too?
No.
My God, man.
No, I have dream killer issues is what I have.
And you're one of them.
But do you think that the imagination of a child is so strong that when they think they want to become something that can last for their entire life and finally lead to fruition?
Yeah, sure. James Cameron saw Star Wars, decided he wanted to make movies.
Steven Spielberg dreamed of making movies as a kid, made them in his backyard, eventually became a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. How could it not? Unless you have a mother who says you shouldn't be Spider-Man,
well,
then you just give up.
That's just an illogical dream.
She said I couldn't be Indiana Jones, too. You know what he was? An archaeologist. He solved history problems, and I couldn't be him either.
Look at you now. You're an Academy Award-winning podcaster.
Yeah, whoopity-whoop-a-doo. I could have been swinging across caverns running away from boulders, but instead, I'm talking to you guys.
Well, anyway, we'll move along from that question. Unless, Zach, you have something else other than, yeah, sure, you want to add.
The question being, can the things you see as a child make you want to do things and stick with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was young, all I ever wanted to do was talk about and write about video games professionally and also like be a homicide detective. But
so both of those have happened for you?
Not the homicide detective part. It's not as dreamy as they make it seem on Law and Order. You can't just shoot people and be okay.
We're coming to find
out. Are
you
out. Speaking it's a, from experience?
It's quite the problem, it turns out. Do not do that. Stop it.
But I write about games now on my own site, and yeah, it's definitely stuck with me.
It just seems like there are a lot of dreams that start from our imagination and are so excited for, and we think that we're truly going to become those things, and a lot of them fall short.
Life gets in the way.
But do you think
it finds a way and also gets in the way?
Do you think it's our lack of imagination and motivation and desire, or do you really think it's just the obstacles of life?
I think it's life. I really do.
I think Yeah, partly, you know, life beats you down, and then motivation, I think, plays into it too, because as life is beating you down, you're going to be less motivated to go down that hard road to what you wanted to do with your life, and you'll just take the easy job, or, you know, you knock up four women or something, so you have to get some jobs going.
So why is there so much disrespect for filmmakers who make good properties and then make really crappy ones? They've had these dreams their whole lives. They lead up to these properties and they have one that isn't very good, or a couple that aren't very good, and we shame them.
That's a weird connection you made.
I was just thinking about it.
I am not inclined to think you achieved your dream.
Ooh.
Wow. I guess he had an answer.
That was a good answer. All right, I'm going to move off this topic.
No, you're not moving on it just yet, lady. So you brought it up. Just because you dream about it your whole life doesn't mean you're good at it. It doesn't mean you're good at it. It doesn't mean that you're going to succeed at it. Great for them for trying. There are a lot of people. I admire anyone who gets a movie made, even if it's a bad movie, because at least they tried. They realized their dream. I'm a huge supporter of that. Doesn't mean your movie's good. You can appreciate someone that achieved a dream without appreciating that dream that they achieved.
Fair enough.
I admire that Tommy Wiseau made a film. I do not admire The Room.
I think I do at this point.
I do not.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa. Oh, hi, Mark.
Well, you are no James Franco.
No, I'm not. Yes.
You are.
You're
not.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
You is are that not. Better?
Are you British now?
You're not doing that right. But to back to your point, I wouldn't be podcasting if I didn't love movies. And that dream started when I was a kid. That all came together. It's all connected because of the movies that I started dreaming about when I was a kid. So, yes, I think those can carry you through life. And unfortunately, you do get bills or kids, or you marry the wrong person, or you make more wrong life choices, or you lose a leg in the war. There's a lot of different things, like life factors, that derail you from what your dreams are. It doesn't mean you stop wanting them. They just become harder to achieve.
So my follow-up question to that, since you both have established, all of us have established, that your dreams can live with you for the rest of your life, you can still retain that imagination.
Except Spider-Man.
And Indiana Jones. You can't be Indiana Jones either.
I was kidding about Indiana Jones. She actually said I could go be an archaeologist.
Okay.
I let every spider bite me just in case.
I jump off roofs every time I got a little tingle. I'm like, I think I got spiders. Nope. That was a mistake.
Oh, man. I would like to know what sort of things we should be exposing our children to in terms of arts, music, things like that, to help shape them and give them opportunity for their imagination to grow. Because in the school, you're only obligated to learn about how to read, how to write, how to do math, a little bit of science, and a tiny bit of history. So you're not obligated to learn about music. You're not obligated to learn how to draw or to paint. You're not obligated to watch movies and learn how filmmaking works. So there are a lot of things that you can expose a child to expand their imagination and help them find what they really love and what their true passion is at a young age, rather than through expensive years of college. So what sort of things do you think are absolutely necessary outside of school to have your child experience, to give them the fullest capacity of imagination?
The Punisher.
What is wrong with you?
It was funny.
I'm trying to understand how that works in your theory. So you give a child The Punisher? Like the comic?
You are The Punisher.
Marvel and Netflix is The Punisher.
You call John Bernthal and ask him to come to your child's house? Is that what you do?
Sure.
I'm going to dissect this argument. If you're going to make it, I'm going to dissect it.
So the Punisher, you just show them the show on Netflix. Instead of showing them some garbage like Dora the Explorer, SpongeBob SquarePants, you plop them down, you show them what real TV looks like and what real men do.
Yeah, a lot of real men do that. Real men are angry in your world.
Like him, very, much
very,
like
obviously,
him.
Obviously, very, very angry.
He gets me.
In terms
that
of,
wasn't my real answer. I want everyone to know that.
What's your real answer then?
Is there a right answer? You expose them to
an opinion.
On what you expose them to? You expose them to whatever is around. You can show them what stuff you like, and they don't like your stuff, you know, show them some more stuff and foster that imagination and let them find out what they like and what they will define, who they will define themselves as.
Nurture them. I don't like stifling imagination. Give it a shot. I mean, obviously, there's, you know, you have to clean your room. You have to do things. You know, maybe don't let them play video games all day long. But moderation's okay. What you don't want to do is to give them a reason to kill their own dreams because, well, I'm never going to achieve anything. You know, my mom and dad are constantly telling me I'm never going to do it. So you don't want to stifle that. It's very important to nurture. I feel like parents, and I'm a parent, parents make the mistake of responsibility is important because they've been through life and they know that they're where they're at in life and they want them to have a similar solid life of, even though it's responsible, it's a solid life. Don't have them worry about the same things you had to worry about. So you want to nurture them, but you also want to protect them. They see that as suffocating them. And oftentimes it will end up suffocating their dreams. So you have to find that middle ground. So you are fostering and nurturing that imagination, that creativity, that dreaming, while also teaching them the life skills they need to be responsible. So it's a fine line you have to do, but nurturing is the thing I would say you had to give your child.
If you have to give them one specific thing, each of you, if you have to give...
I just said nurturing.
No, if you have to give them one specific thing to be exposed to, whether that is...
A hobby or something?
Yes. Something outside of your education. What is one thing that you would say that a child should or needs to be exposed to?
Books.
Video games. See, it's still laughing because it's not on this. It's not as respected as books or movies or TV shows.
I thought yet. You were making another joke.
I'm not making a joke. Video games are an interactive form of storytelling. Therefore, in my opinion, a more powerful form of storytelling. It gets you engaged. It gets you lost in the world. And I know it fostered my imaginations and I wanted to tell stories and I wanted to adventure. I dreamed of big things because Link did in Zelda. And I was there the whole time he was doing his thing.
So it's not necessarily any video game. It's getting those very interactive storytelling video games to help foster and nurture that imagination and potential.
Even Mario, without a story.
But not could like.
Could have an impact.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I don't think they need to play like God of War right away.
Right away. Later on, child.
I mean, I think I played it when I was like 10. But it's an important form of storytelling and will only become more important as time goes on. When the Supreme Court defended it as an art and freedom of speech, I think Judge Scalia said that it's mind-boggling people judge video games the way they do because as a more interactive form of storytelling, it is perhaps the most sophisticated form of storytelling.
Wow.
Did you memorize that quote?
That's not it was a little paraphrasing.
It was done well.
He's I'm dead, impressed. Right?
He did die.
So does his opinion still matter? I don't know what the rules are.
the ruling doesn't go away, no. And he did a lot of bad things, but he did some good things for gamers. So,
do you think arts like movies and music are instrumental to fostering a child's imagination and their growth?
They can be negative too. I think everything needs moderation. If you allow too much, a child can often overindulge, and then it becomes a problem. Just like anything else. If you're going to do some cocaine, just do a little bit. You don't do a lot. Do enough to get you through the day, get a bump, get you through the day.
A hard lesson learned.
There you go. Exactly.
Would you say the same thing for books in moderation?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I would say the same thing for anything. There's a moderation that comes with it. Otherwise, you lose the ability for social skills or responsibility, work skill. There are certain things that you will give up to do more of that hobby. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. So foster it, nurture it, moderate it.
What do you think kids need, Amanda?
I think they absolutely need to have some involvement with music and with film and with even video games.
If you had to pick one, you made us pick one.
And don't qualify even video games, okay?
Well, it's a judgment. It's a judgmental topic. So I was saying
even. She just made some judgment.
No, even video games.
Pick one.
I got music. A future story in the
I would say music. Now. Because music expands in your brain and uses more than any other element that you are performing in. Because your brain needs to use multiple different aspects at the same time.
You mean to teach a child to play musical instruments.
Yes, musical instruments. Not just listening to music. Performing on some instrument. And getting them involved in reading music as well. Because it's not easy to start reading, especially if you're doing things that are a little bit like guitar and piano, drums.
Otherwise, we'd all be Billy Joel.
Exactly. So I think music would probably be the most important. And having that exposure into arts where most people are already entertained in music in some level. So if they are able to choose their musical instrument and experiment with them to choose what they like, and maybe they don't want to keep playing instruments for the rest of their life, but they should have that exposure and allow their brains to kind of grow with that. So my final question for you both is, what is your favorite thing about going to the movies to tie back to the magic of cinema? Do you have a favorite thing, or do you hate movies too?
Well, yeah, I used to like going with people I liked, but I don't really go to the movies with friends and family anymore besides my wife, who I do enjoy seeing films with. But I did like going with a group of people to see a movie and discussing it afterwards, like a steak and shake or something. But I don't get to do that much anymore.
My favorite thing is just being lost. For me, my whole life has been surrounded with movie and movie culture because of just how I was raised. And long story, and we don't have time on this podcast to go into my childhood. But movies have always been very important. So to me, a movie is where I go to de-stress and to get lost and disappear. So it's the magic of just being there. That's why I love going to the theater, because if I'm at home, I'm not lost. There's people walking around, or there's somebody asking me a question, or the phone's going to ring, or whatever. I'm in a theater. Even if I'm with people, it's just me focused on whatever's happening and being lost in that moment. And it's a way for me to decompress. It's a way for me to process. It's my perfect happy moment. It's like Happy Gilmore. It's my happy place.
I am so with you on that. It is. I do not like roller coasters at all. They terrify me.
Random connection.
Wait for it. I can't even stand on a chair without getting scared. That feeling of adrenaline that you get and happiness and joy when you are on a roller coaster, that, as I've been told, you experience happiness and joy, is the same feeling I get when I go to a movie, particularly horror films. I enjoy those a lot. But I love being able to escape into whatever I'm given. I do the same thing as you, where I feel like it's just, I'm here with me. You might have like the little ha-ha moment with whoever's sitting mm-hmm. next to you, but you are so encompassed in what's going on screen, and you're engaged, and you feel the range of emotions throughout a two-hour process. And I love that it is a release for me, and it is the equivalent of a roller coaster. That ride of emotions is the same feeling that I get when I go to a movie. And I think the magic of what you can do to pull feelings out of people that they weren't expecting to give the filmmaker is a beautiful thing. And I love the magic of movies. So do you guys think this story was truth, or do you think it was fiction?
Fiction.
Truth.
No kids that happy.
Just because you didn't encounter that when you were a child. It actually is. It is fiction. I have the tiny little glimpse of the stormtroopers. Hey, I have the little stormtrooper that kind of sparked my idea for this.
Sparked, so. New Star Wars movie. Zach, when you see it, you'll get that joke.
Yeah, I don't. What?
What?
So what's the title of your story?
So originally I was going to go with The Mind's Eye because of imagination. But then as you were talking and you said something, Aaron, you said reach for the stars. That seemed to encompass everything I was talking about for this story. So I'm actually going to go with Reach for the Stars.
Because when it comes to movies, I know what I'm talking about.
Oh my God. Get out of here.
Just got 9 freaking movie and TV podcasts.
Doesn't make you a know-it-all, Aaron.
I'm the biggest fan. I am the biggest movie and TV fan that you know. All right. Well, as our show, I'm pretty disappointed that neither one of you referenced me in your biggest fan story, but that's cool. As our show.
You didn't reference us, jerk.
You referenced Scott.
Yeah. Scott, of all people.
It's Zelda. He's such a psychotic about it. So, yeah. As our show goes, we will occasionally pick listener stories to read and discuss on Smirk. So if you'd like the chance to have yours read, email it to mystory@smirkpodcast.com. That's mystory@smirkpodcast.com. Be sure to join the conversation by joining our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter @SmirkPodcast. And be sure to use the show's hashtag, Smirk. Don't miss an episode. Be sure to subscribe to Smirk on your podcast app of choice and check out our website at smirkpodcast.com. That was a good one, Amanda.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Put some effort into it.
A lot of discussion.
Probably a little bit too much, but that's how it goes.
Is there too much?
it was good. It really got our imaginations rolling, obviously.
Good. That's the idea. And as you write your own life story, always remember to tell it with a smirk.